You know what I mean? Like, there's there were horrible crimes. And I went to college. It was like, remember a girl got kicked down a stairwell by these football players? Yeah. Just kicked down a stairwell. And then, like, it was like, kind of went away.
Wait, that happened at Brown?
Yeah. There was these awful guys. And they were, like, on the wrestling team. They were on the football team. And this guy just, like, he's like, take that. And then, like.
You don't think of that happening at, like, an Ivy League school.
We were aghast.
I didn't realize.
You know, we were aghast.
You used prepper.
That's when you found out Brown had a football team.
Well, I found out Brown. Yeah, well, that was a good piece of information. Yeah, that was really interesting. You know, I was kind of done with the chess tournaments and the D&D covens and things like that. And I was like, what? And someone explained to me football, that you pass an oblong ball made of pigskin from one corner to the other, that it's actually a war game.
It is.
Yeah. Blitz, the long bomb, things like that. But moving territory to get to the end zone.
Makes sense.
But you must have been confused at first. You're like, what does this have to do with kicking a girl down the stairs?
No, when I saw it, I explained everything. At the end of the game, you kick a girl downstairs. That is one of the older traditions at Brown.
It's a celebration.
In case you were confused of who we're talking to, the only Ivy League cast member on Guy Code, Jordan Carlos. Welcome.
That's me.
Guy Code podcast with the Ryans.
Yeah, man. Oh, it's good to be here. You guys have a great view too, by the way.
It's
pretty
good.
Pretty nice view.
It's inspiring.
It is.
Very inspiring.
You get Jersey over there?
Mm-hmm.
We turn our backs to it.
Thank you.
We like to stay focused on you.
I feel like a lady in a restaurant. This is really great. I get the view. I get to see the street. You guys are gentlemen, man. You are definitely not breaking guy code right now for your guest. You know?
There you go.
Yeah, man. It's good to be here. Good to be on the podcast. I just did an episode downstairs on art.
Oh, it was the art topic?
I think I will be the entire art topic.
You're probably.
I was like, Modigliani, the works of Rodin. You have to know these things. Guernica, if you want to get laid.
It's going to be a 1 minute topic, just you.
It's definitely
become a pro tip. Yes.
It's just a pro tip. I like got all the wrong advice. Just like, if you want to get laid, you have to know the works of Romare Bearden.
You're telling this to 16-year-old kids. You're like, oh totally. Damn, I got to learn all that.
I did tell them that it's cool to know how to do art. Like, you can get laid if you, like, I paint. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, I've been painting since I was like 15 years old. I've been painting nudes, which is kind of awesome, which like excels, you get like boop, 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 power up, get to see a naked woman right away and enjoy the body and learn that what's always pleasing to
the
eye.
Like, boop, 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 boop.
You do, you power boop, up. Boop, boop. It's like boop, 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 boop.
Do you paint live nudes? Like, is it the
no dead ones, corpses,
like,
things like that?
Which is probably more difficult.
I like to pose my corpses, Ryan.
The detail on the decomposed skin.
This quite the flies and the fruit. It's live nudes. I haven't painted a live nude in a long time. I've drawn my good lady. I drew a couple girls in college. That was kind of like a thing you did. Like, you know, let me draw you.
The Leonardo DiCaprio and Titanic type of thing.
Yes. Let me draw you. You know, and girls would pose for it, you know? And you'd always do something flattering. You don't want to do, like, friggin' draw a girl, like, in the Picasso style or something. Put her nose where her butthole should be or something like that. They don't like that. Lesson learned. Never again. Yeah, but, you know, I think it's important to know, to be, like, worldly. I think that's a big part of guy code, is to be worldly, to be interesting, you know?
Absolutely.
Just don't be boring. That's what my mother always told me. Just don't be boring.
I feel like painting is way better than what I was good at growing up.
What were you good at?
Playing the trombone. Exactly.
Canadian? Were you the Canadian trombone guy?
No.
That had the extra trigger where
I come from a long line of music educators.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you didn't know this?
No, I didn't know
that. He's a big band guy.
I'm the only person in my family not a band director.
You sought another route. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So it was like 21 trombones in your house.
I played, my mom plays the flute and the piano. My brother and my dad play the trombone.
Your brother and your dad play the trombone. Do you ever get out just like just make it a Yamaha
Stucky's
night and like
got my Yamaha. Yeah. Stucky's trying to get me out and to play with him and Murray.
I play trumpet.
Do you?
Still,
you guys should start a ska
band. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I mean, I can still hit the notes pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have it. Like, it's in my apartment. It looks kind of cool. You know, it's got a nice box. You know, talking about it like it's a girl. It is. I wanted the trumpet because I was so like girl obsessed when I was younger that like there was nothing, because I'd see like these old Bruce Willis ads where he'd be like playing a trumpet in the window, the Seagram's wine cooler
during, like,
ads.
Moonlighting.
Yeah, man. I'd be like, this guy's in a muscle shirt. He's playing a trumpet. He's like serenading some girl in the street. And I thought, I gotta be. That's me. I remained third chair for like 10 years. I was like, and there were only four trumpets.
I feel like you need to come to, it hasn't been announced around here, but we're putting on for the crew, a hidden talent show.
Okay.
I might be playing the trombone.
Oh, shit. Wow. Dude, I will. There are plenty of trumpet duets. Yeah. And we can go to the music store.
We can get some nice
good
piece.
Yeah, pick out a nice piece. Good.
So both of you guys are into brass instruments, but were either of you a part of a ska band at any point?
I thought about it. Ska.
I thought you were into it.
I listened to it. I never played it though.
Yeah, I never. I do have some CDs of the Scatolites, some third wave stuff, but I never joined one. I went to college with one of the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. It was really cool.
What? Really?
Yeah, that was amazing. Cool. The closest I came. You should always say yes. I think you should always say yes. But like once my first acting gig was with Lauryn Hill, and it was the video for "Guys, You Know You Better, Watch Out." We didn't have the rights to that. So that thing. That's the name of the song.
Stop singing it.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to give you a taste. I was in the video because it was split. It was like modern times and then like in the 60s.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing I ever got hired to do on camera, and they were like, "You're supposed to be in a band," and I was like, "Oh, cool! I have a trumpet." And they were like, "Oh, great." So I had like figured out the notes in the song. It was like G-E-C, G-E-C. And I played it over and over again. And Lauryn Hill, this is before she was insane. So B-C, before crazy. Was like, she heard me and was like, she's like, "That's rather good." It's like, "Thank you very much," right? So then she goes on her tour, Miseducation for Lauryn Hill. It's like, she's ramping up. The album is a monster hit, obviously. Remember that? And like, I'm at the Short Hill Malls in New Jersey. I have to be very specific about this. And I'm coming out of Nordstrom's. And she goes, honestly, my sophomore year of college, she goes, "Hey, like you were." I was like, I just wanted to. I stopped her and was like, "Hey, we were in that video together. It was nice to see you again." Blah blah. She's like, "Do you?"
You just bumped into her at the mall.
I bumped into her at the mall, and she goes, "Do you really play trumpet? Do you really play trumpet?" That could like.
She remembered that.
Yeah, she was like, "Do you really play trumpet? I'm starting a tour," and like. That could have changed my life. And I was just like, to be honest, I just want to be honest with her. And I was like, "I don't." And I just was like, "It's very nice meeting you, I don't, but you got to find another trumpeter." And I was like, that I kind of regret that. That's one of my regrets.
Do you think you could have said yes and faked your way through it?
I would have. I crammed to fucking get into Brown. I could cram to get on this tour. That's, I mean, I know I could do it. I think I could have done it. In my heart of hearts, I'm like, I could have probably made it, because it was sure, like, it was that's like one of the things I look back at and I'm like, damn, what would have been different if I had gone on that tour? So much Roadhead, you guys. Roadhead, so much neo soul Roadhead. It could have been mine.
That's crazy.
Oh well.
Was the fear to tell your parents like, "I'm leaving Brown and going on tour"?
Well, at the time, you know, people were leaving. They were leaving college all the time because it was like there were dot-com startups and shit like that all the time. So like I've been one more guy. I was like, "I'm staying, man. I'm gonna fucking do this." But if I had told them that, they would have just been like, they would have died. They would have that shit would have made them go white. they'd been like, "We sent you up there for a reason. You're the first in this family." No, that wasn't. But but they would have probably been really upset.
That's a better story if you were the first in the family.
I was first in the family to go to an Ivy League school.
Yeah. He fixed his glasses for this.
And we shall.
And
yeah,
I won't be the last.
Yes, my sister came 4 years later. So, but she was only let into Brown, after I graduated. Like once I was like handing in my last thing, she was taken off the wait list.
Crazy.
They were like, "These Carlises, I don't know, you know."
We'll
but
see.
Then, like, yeah,
we'll
they
see,
they pay full price. We'll take her.
Were you there when I was filming a project up there? Probably
with Alec Baldwin.
It was.
He was dating a girl at the time.
Really?
At Brown. I went to Brown. Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
What were you doing up in Providence?
I was filming. This was probably after your time. I was up there. I guess Bill O'Reilly like crashed.
Oh no, some, no, like, no, big no. I was there.
Underwear party.
Sex you were power there. God.
Yeah, what the hell?
SPG?
Yeah. I don't understand.
It was just kids having a good time in an old building. Like, it's like this party on the Brown campus. It's like the Sex Power God. And it's conducted by the LGBT organization, lesbian, gay, bi, and transgender. It was just like a lot of EDM, a lot of drugs. And Bill O'Reilly was like, oh, no, you're not going to have a good time. So he sent like a crew up there. And the guy that reported was like, I remember he was like having the time of his life and was like, this is the best. And we're like, yeah. And then he's like, I have to do this thing for Bill O'Reilly and say it sucks. And we're like, well, you got to do what you got to do. And then he like came clean and was like, this is kind of awesome. And that it was like terrible. So it backfired and like Bill, like the guy, I don't know what happened in the guy's career, but like at least he was honest.
Yeah. You haven't seen him around since though, so it.
I haven't seen him around. He hasn't made. He's not like, you know, fucking news at 12 on Fox News.
He's like enrolled in Brown now.
Yeah, he wants to
relive.
He wants to relive. So, what were you? You were covering that?
No, I was filming. It was an MTVU project about like kind of kids using technology to like develop new ideas.
Oh, at Brown?
Yeah, yeah. So there was like it was a competition, and the kids at Brown were among the finalists.
Oh yeah, we're so never like winners. There. We're among the finalists. Yeah. That would be about it. I don't think we ever really. Yeah, we
they
never
watched really. Me like a hawk because they of did? Bill O'Reilly. I had a supervisor as soon as I stepped foot on campus.
We had Geraldo come to campus once, and Geraldo was like, "What are you guys? What are you like? Give chicks can talk around here?" Like he was literally he went to the main green with a camera and like just stirred up trouble. We're like, "What are you doing, man? What are you doing? Just get the fuck out of here." He's like, well, look at this black guy thinking he's got rights. And we're like, what is this? This is ridiculous. He was just creating making a show. He was just like making a spectacle. And, but Brown was like, you take over the student union every day and you fucking march. And it just for no reason. We're just like, fuck power, man. And then maybe you got laid.
Maybe. What was your growing up like? Were you around totally different people once you got to college, or did you know similar people at Brown?
The first time I ran into people of color actually. Like so, I was used to being around being the only black person in the room, and then sometimes.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Texas, in Dallas, Texas, in the suburbs of Dallas, which was like
Fort Worth.
Near Fort Worth, but if you couldn't hack it in Dallas, like Dallas is, you know, so it's major.
I've seen
city.
The TV show. It's pretty cutthroat.
Yeah, it's pretty cutthroat. If you couldn't hack it in that town, you'd move out to the suburbs, away from the riffraff. So like, so I grew up out there, and I saw. I mean, I would see black people on Cops and the Cosby Show and things like America's Most Wanted. So like I knew about the culture. So when I got to college, it was kind of weird. There were just like other black people, black girls who were into me.
What?
Black
girls?
I got myself some chocolate cake.
So that's the first time you've ever dated a black girl.
Well, yeah, the first no. Wait, oh, I'd be dissing all the girls in high school. Yeah, I would get, I did pretty good. I like would meet a black girl and then be like, you know, it's really like, I'd be like, cause it really needed to happen. Mm-hmm. This really needs to happen. I feel this pressure to like be with a black girl. And so I'd be like, turn on the charm.
Like you have two virginities.
I had two virginities.
That's awesome.
You're like, I really needed to get rid of that card.
Gonna keep the third. But like, I had two virginities, but like, yeah, I used to go with this girl, but they'd all live in like Fort Worth, which is like that's like going out with somebody that lives in like we're here in New York, so it's like going out with somebody that lives in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. Like you'd have to drive out there to get you know your fucking black love. You'd have to do a commute, and I you know gas was expensive, and I broke up with a girl because of it. Yeah, it's like weighing
you
it.
You can do
just
that.
Too expensive.
College.
Sorry.
She was great. I took her to like Mavs games, and then I like fucking. Make out with her and she, it'd kiss her titties in the dark.
Was it different?
Was it different?
I think there's obviously like a stigma, like,
oh, or was she different? No,
just
no,
like
no.
You know, when you're with a black girl versus
when you're with a white girl,
yeah.
Having had both, yeah, fair. We have time to talk about agents.
Two V cards.
V cards. Three V cards. Having tasted from both fountains, I will say that demonstrably white girls are a lot tougher to deal with than black girls.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
Black girls, I've done a lot of reading on this, and this is going to get me murdered.
It's a lot of research.
So it's not just Jordan saying this. I've done a lot of research.
I found a wonderful article in a series of interviews on NPR. I'll just throw them under the bus about dating among African Americans, and more black women like marriage isn't really even like it's not as big a deal as it is to white women. Like,
oh really?
Because they sometimes don't see it. It yeah. might not happen. So that's why I felt less pressure mm-hmm. With black women, but I love and thrive under pressure. So that's why I'm with a white girl. Black girls also seem a little bit more together. They're like a little more with it. Mm-hmm. And white girls just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's kind of fun. It's never boring.
What do you mean?
It's like dating a crazy girl.
Dating a crazy girl.
Oh, okay.
You never hear about like, oh, this crazy black girl I dated. You never hear that at all. It's just like, it's crazy. When you think of crazy girls.
Yeah.
A black woman or do you see a white woman?
A white woman.
Yeah, exactly. But exactly.
I have.
Although I kind of think of.
You got a crazy black girl?
I mean, a little bit.
Your silence speaks volumes. I love it, man.
I can't say that because. I think a girl's craziness is mm-hmm. directly. I think guys are directly responsible for it.
Wow, that's yeah. I mean,
I think there's a reason,
but I think there's more than the
creator
that.
Of depends, guy code.
Like it depends what they're bringing into the relationship.
Yeah,
too.
It's true. You do deal with a lot of baggage, but I think if you make the choice to, you know, date this person or stay with the person a little bit longer, you know what's going to set them off.
That's true. If you know what sets them
I've
off,
I've never
you know
been
what
with a girl that's like. Something's totally out of the blue.
Something's totally out of the blue. Like, yeah, yeah. Right,
maybe I just, well, my girlfriend in college was definitely like just legitimately insane. That's what I picture is crazy.
Sometimes, I mean, like, you're
Sucifer
right.
Sucifer was her nickname.
Sucifer? Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Obviously, there are, you know, crazy women of all colors of the rainbow.
Yeah.
But I found that it's more like. The way people are raised, if you're raised like a princess, you're going to have a princess fit every once in a while.
Totally.
And if you're not really raised like a princess, you might not. That's why I feel like there's this thing about, I read this article about CEOs and how they're like starting to date black women more because they say black women are for adults. Like George Lucas,
mm-hmm.
he loves that chocolate cake.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea.
He'd be eating that shit.
Robert De Niro?
De Niro, thank you.
Yeah.
My dad.
David Bowie.
My dad and my mom. David Bowie. Yeah. Iman. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. His beard. But, you know, that's kind of how it goes. You know? But, you know, now I think one is better than the other? No.
Nah.
I think it's you end up who you end up with, and that's life. You make decisions, you make choices, and that's the beautiful part. Like, now that I'm, you know, I'm settled down. I got my little one.
Yeah.
Can't be chasing the skirts around.
No.
You know?
No chasing.
Done chasing. I'm done chasing. Now I'm like into micro brews.
I think it's hilarious that you, before I saw your stand up, I mean, you know, are a very intelligent guy and play up the.
I'm reading a farewell.
You play that up, but seeing your stand up, you also have. A vast knowledge of hip hop.
I do have a very
was surprising.
That's most of your set is,
you know, hip hop based on hip hop lyrics, which
you paint and listen to hip hop.
I paint, listen. You know what? I'm a Renaissance man. Yeah. I'm so many facets. I love hip hop.
I do too.
There's so much of hip. Who's your favorite? Like, who are you listening to right now?
Right now,
what's in your deck?
Chance. Chance the Rapper.
Sure, he's a new guy. He's a gamble. I don't know who that
is.
I don't know.
I listen to everything. I'm trying to think. Schoolboy Q. I like what him and Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, yeah. Kendrick Lamar is great.
I don't know. I just try to listen to everything. I always love Pusha.
Pusha T?
Yeah.
Pusha T is great.
I'm a huge Kanye fan, which is fun to argue.
I've gotten into some serious
arguments. Yeah, I got into a fight about it last night.
All he wants is to be worshipped like a god. That's all he's asking for people.
Why, that's such a big deal.
I've always viewed Kanye as a professional wrestler.
Okay.
And I think if you look at him like you look at Triple H, there's like very little truth, I think.
But Triple H's rap album is horrible.
Yeah.
Does
he ever rap?
I don't know. He probably could.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan's ain't bad though.
I mean, it's
not bad.
Hulk Hogan has a rap album.
Hulk Hogan does have a rap album. Yeah, man. I feel like
I just feel like he's a caricature.
Kanye is a caricature, but he takes himself so seriously. He's looking for approval that you're like, who are these people? He's like, I went to the House of Dior. I spoke to Francois. And he turned me down, right, God? I'm like, who is this person? I don't know these people, you know. And he just wants, I don't know what he's trying to do with Kim Kardashian, you know.
That's
I don't
weird. Like, and the last like video, the Bound 2 video, is horrible. And I got into a big argument over Thanksgiving over because I really like Yeezus.
Yeah.
But I could not defend that video, and everybody just kept pointing at the video, like, look, he thinks this is good, and he's saying it's.
I don't know.
Ahead
I feel like
time.
I'm not. I feel like I'm not in on the joke. I feel like he pulled one over. He's like, I'm gonna make this piece of shit, just because
with my
I
wife,
can.
Who's gonna be topless?
He's gonna make the worst video with like one of the. What people think is hot.
I mean, she's hot, but through a screensaver. Exactly. It's great.
I like his music. I think his music.
Oh, his
great.
Music's amazing. He's one of the world's greatest DJs.
Yeah.
But is he a musician?
Yeah, I think so. He paints. Are you a musician?
He produces.
What are you? Gosh.
Once again.
Charlemagne's interview was pretty incredible.
Interview was great. It kind of showed that he's. That he wants to be worshipped, that he can't meet you in the he can't discuss with another human being. He's a narcissist, and then he can't actually hold a conversation with you. That he's actually fomenting getting mad about stuff that like affects no one. You're raging about champagne problems, and then adhering them to bigger cultural problems, and you're like, no, I don't think so. He's like, I can't get a motherfucking Marine One. Twin blade helicopter like Barack Obama can. See, that's we slaves. You're like, what? We slaves. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
He legitimately sounded like a crazy person.
He does. He does. He's like, I'm trying to back in my giga yacht into the harbor. Takes a mill to fill, $1 million to fill it. But they want me to wait online for my petrol at the harbor. What kind of racist shit is that? You're like, no, you're not like us. You're like, you've gone beyond. You can't be like, you can't still be hood. You're way beyond. Yeah. It's like Jay-Z with the Barney's thing. That's like crazy. Yeah. Shop and Frisk, crazy. It's never happened to me.
I think I missed that like week of news. And I don't even understand the whole.
Well, luckily, for Jay-Z, these people got harassed by the cops after they were like done shopping at like Barney's and Macy's, and then like, and then they were like, you can't afford this stuff. Very 1950s kind of vintage racism. And then like, and then people were like, what you gonna do, Jay-Z? You gonna drop out of these stores? But I was like, why does Jay-Z have to drop out? Why not like, Martha Stewart and like Donald Trump? And all the other human beings that should be embarrassed by all this.
Yeah.
Was it just got to be Jay-Z? Jay-Z, call me.
Call me Jay.
But Donald Trump is allowed to be racist.
Donald Trump is just allowed to
Martha Stewart's the
horrible. Just
part of his brand.
Part of his brand.
Just a horrible person. Rosie is a loser. That's what I love.
Martha Stewart should really have to drop out because she has street cred from going to prison.
She does.
So she must have some.
Did she write Orange is the New Black? Is that what
I think
happened?
She did.
Is she tasty in that? Is that her? Oh my God. Dude. Wait. What are you going to do for Christmas? What are you going to do, man? What's going to be your
stocking stuff? I'm definitely flying back to see my family in Ohio.
OHIO?
Yeah.
That's what's up, man.
Probably about four nights. I think I'm going to cap it.
Are you going to do something ill for New Year's?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out.
What have you done for yourself this year, Ryan?
I've just surrounded myself with you great people. That's all I've done.
This podcast is actually
this
for
podcast.
Him.
This podcast is your present. This is your Kwanzaa present.
Treats myself. Treats myself.
You don't want to do something? You want to go somewhere?
I've options, I might go to Times Square and hang out with Carly and Charlemagne.
That would be great. Carly and Charlemagne.
Live New Year's,
you know, thing. They're thinking about like ensconcing themselves in fur coats, white fur coats.
That would be incredible.
They should. I know. Very 90s hip hop. Speaking of hip hop, it's crazy. I think that'd be really good.
That could be fun because it's like you're not in the craziness. You have to go through it.
You have to go. Yeah, you have to. Yeah, to do it, you got to go through it. I have never gone to Times Square. No. New Year's.
I got to once just because my friend was DJing at a bar down there, and he got me a ticket that got me through all the waiting.
Wow.
And then once you got inside, you could like step outside to see the ball drop and step back inside to drink.
Wow.
Oh, that's
it was pretty
so
amazing.
Cool.
That'd be cool.
So you got to have like a... Yeah. That's the only way I would have done it.
The best one for me, I had one in Paris. That was amazing.
Oui. That's the only word I remember. Oui.
In the Place de Vosges, where Victor Hugo's childhood home was. It was champagne, you know, fireworks.
Eiffel Tower.
You know, black shit. So it was great. I partied like... that's why I used to relate to Kanye. Because I was like, he's a lot like me. He's nerdy. He loves white girls. And, you know, and he's great at hip hop. He loves champagne. But through the years, I'm like, I can't hang. But that was great. But you know what is the best place to go? It's under the radar in New York City. What's up? Giving you this Geico pro tip is in Brooklyn in Prospect Park. They have fireworks.
Do they really?
Yeah. You can get like fucking nose to nose at the fireworks.
Did not know that.
Dude.
I don't know how because I've lived here for 8 years now.
You can get so blasted. I've gone to that park blasted, wasted, fucking just die off my face, tripping my nuts, and just like it's this amazing fireworks display at midnight. It's great.
That's great.
It's great. And
is
nobody
that what
you're
going to do this year, or what are you doing?
That's what I've done for the past couple of years, and I think I want to do that again. I mean, I think, you know, I'll be probably hanging out with the family. Oh, no, what the fuck am I saying? My brother's getting married.
Small detail.
Jesus Christ. Is that McKellen? Okay. No. My brother's getting married on New Year's Eve. So it's in Miami.
Oh, that's weird.
White tuxes.
Oh, nice.
You know, it's just
is
like
it on the beach.
Yeah. Unbuttoned to my nutsack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Passed it.
Is that the scrotum?
Yes.
His belly button and his scrotum.
Well, I'm the best man. That's where I keep the ring. Oh. So, and then I have two Siberian tigers that I've rented for the night. It's a true Miami wedding. It's going to be great.
You are the best man.
I am the best man.
Yeah, you are.
It's going to be a best man holiday.
That would be
great.
Are you nervous about the speech? Yeah, no way. I feel like you would give one of the best man speeches.
My brother will. My brother is so nervous he will poop his pants. Like it's like
for your speech or to get married?
For my speech. Okay. To get married already. He's, you know, he's
is this a younger brother or older brother?
Older brother. Okay. I'm the younger brother who did everything before the older brother. You know, family, kids will die before him. You know, just do it all. Just beat you up. I graduated from college before him. My brother was 10 years in college.
Did you sleep with the black girl before him?
Did I beat him to the punch? He taught me the ways of the white woman. But I think I got, no, he got, well, he had a, like, his girl was, he was with this girl, it was crazy. She was like African American. She was nuts. Amber. She had a big old choco butt, but she was definitely, she was like, that she was equally mixed up. All right, so, but I'm really excited for the wedding. It's going to be good. It's black tie. Like, you have to buy a tuxedo.
Really?
Oh, wow.
He's insane.
You have to buy a white tuxedo.
No, I was just kidding about the white tuxedo. Okay.
I have a friend that he did the white tuxedo.
No,
like,
why?
He was in Jamaica.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he's probably listening to this podcast.
He's a big fan. Oh, great, man.
But
that's awesome.
I guess if you're in Jamaica.
When you're in Jamaica, man, you know, that's, you got to do it.
I've heard you tell a Jamaica story on stage, I think, right?
I've told a Jamaica story. Yes, I have. About seeing Beanie Man.
Yep.
Live.
I don't remember that. I don't think I've heard that story.
I was in Negril. And when I was in Jamaica, it's good times. So I remember our groundskeeper would always be like, he would give us weed and he'd be like, energy infinite. Finite. We're like, dude, teach us more. Wish we had more time. He goes, yeah, man, you're going to the Beanie Man concert. And we're like, anything you're suggesting, we're down. So we go to the Beanie Man concert. Until this time, I didn't really know much about Jamaica. Just they had good music, that they put rice in their salt, absorbs the moisture. Mm. And that you know, this guy Beanie Man was in a beef with a guy named Bounty Killer. Yeah, I don't know if you know Bounty Killer.
Bounty Killer.
Bounty Killer, and Beanie Man was like, "Me no like Bounty Killer. Bounty Killer warmonger." You know, like, we're like, we don't like that either. So we're listening to Beanie Man. He's, you know, he notices that there's like Americans in the crowd, and he goes, "Americans, you having a good time?" We're like, having the best time, right? And he's like, "We want to tell you something about Jamaica." We're like, "Oh, this will be great." And I was a total nerd. I was like, "Tell me about your culture. Fill me with knowledge." You know? And so, like, he was like, "Me want to tell you about some terms and words. Turn down the music, DJ. Turn down the music." So he, like, turns down the music. And he goes, "Do you know what a Batman is?" And I was like, "I know Batman. Batman's great." He's got daddy problems, but he's cool. And then he's just like, "Batman is a faggoty man. And me say death to the faggots." And I was just like, let that wash over. I was like, that was not in the
travel
manual. Yeah, the travel like, guide at all. And so, like, and then he goes, "DJ, stop the music one more time. Calypso." Like, and it's like the party starts again, but all everybody that's like kind of open minded like, is like, what the fuck just happened, man? And he's just like, "Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, Calypso all night. No, fuck, I'd sell out." You know, so he's like having the time of his life. My friends and I are like, "We are leaving," you know, because we went to this, you know, it was the 90s. It was just like, we're just like so striding up with the people and shit. So we're like, "We're getting out of here." Yeah, we're protesting. And then.
No more Americans
yeah,
here.
Yeah, 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 no. And so, but the girls that we were with were like, "Oh, we're gonna stay." And we're like, "Okay." So we said, "Then we'll stay."
We're only making a political statement if the girls come with us.
So then, about an hour later, Beanie Man says, "Me forgot to tell you something, Americans." We're like, "Oh God, so
kill the music.
This guy's got footnotes," you know. So like, he goes, "Do you know what a lesbian?" Or he goes, "No." He goes, "Do you know what a fireburn is?" And I was like, I get it away, but he goes, "A fireburn is a lesbian. We say death and rape to the lesbians. DJ, stop the music one more time."
What the
fuck? We were like, at this point, I was so offended. Anyway, I had gay friends. I just, you know. So I was like, okay, I'm leaving. So we're walking out, and then Beanie Man goes, "Americans," or like, is he talking to us? Because at this point, I'm like, I think he's talking to me personally. He goes, "Me have a special treat for you. My best friend, Steven Seagal." And then Steven Seagal comes up from the floor in a cloud of smoke. And he plays No Woman, No Cry. And it's really good on guitar. And I was like,
he's a pretty good guitarist.
He's a really Steven good guitarist.
Seagal, Steven Seagal is, yeah.
He's very good.
Does his facial expression ever change?
No, it does
when
not.
He plays, he just looks like he's karate punching.
He was karate punching his strings. He's good with his hands, man. Incredible. He's good with his hands. So I had to ask myself, do I hate homophobia more than I love Steven Seagal? And the answer is we stayed.
It is where the story now.
Yeah, that's where the story ends. And that was like my trip to Jamaica. That was crazy, man.
It's pretty incredible. It's
intense. It's intense. Oh,
if
God.
I ever go to Jamaica, I'm gonna the bar is high. No.
Dude, you know where you gotta go? You gotta go to that place Rock. Like the Rock Hotel. That's where like James Bond was like that's
oh, really?
Where Ian Fleming got inspired to write James Bond. That's where he wrote it.
Really?
Oh, it's badass, man.
Kevin Barnett's from Jamaica.
No, he's not.
I believe
Are
so.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, yep. I didn't know that.
He should have said or, just Jamaica Queens.
Or he's, I don't know if he's from Jamaica, but his family
people.
Is from there.
His
and
people.
He goes there quite a bit.
I guess,
so.
We all know KG. My friend is now, he's KG's neighbor.
Oh, really?
They live in the same building. KG has a triplex in it's three floors.
Yeah.
That are like not, they're like open. So it's like just you walk into your apartment, and you can see three floors up. That's Kevin Garnett's apartment. And, like, that's his life. He lives down near the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. So, like, he lives, in, like, around Tribeca. So it's, like, he just gets in the car in the waiting limousine, takes him through the tunnel right to the stadium. And then
to go lose another game. They're bad.
They're one of the worst teams.
They're so bad.
Yeah, they're race, but it's a good life though.
Yeah.
You know, he has to play like 15 minutes a night now too. So
he's got the, like,
his
senior,
limits are very his minutes discount. Are very limited.
Are you saying you wouldn't want to switch heads with him?
I would totally switch lives with him right now.
I mumbled and it sounded like Kevin Garnett. I meant Kevin Barnett is Jamaican.
Oh, you're making me crazy with this Kevin Barnett. Yeah. Kevin Garnett. Barnett's Jamaican?
From Guy Code.
Are you sure?
Barnett.
He's from Florida. I thought he was from Florida.
Yeah, well, his family's Jamaican. He goes there a lot.
Yeah, okay, I see.
But yeah, he went to Florida State, I think.
I don't know if the girl that my brother's marrying is Jamaican or not.
Oh, really?
I have my suspicions.
She's a secret Jamaican?
Well, like, Miami's, like, aside from New Orleans, is like the northernmost Caribbean city.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm like, is she Jamaican? Is she crazy? Is she not that she's crazy, but like,
I mean, she might not know.
Jamaicans,
I don't know.
Jamaicans are a little crazy.
I don't know any.
Yeah. Well, they did my hair when I was there. That was really fun. They called me Cuga all the time. Cuga. They're like, Cuga. I don't know why. They called me Cuga. They're nice people, though. They're nice people. I had a great time.
Does your brother live in Miami?
My brother doesn't live in Miami. He's not Freeway Rick Ross. He lives in Atlanta. And he's the he's like the head of admissions now from Morehouse College.
Oh.
It's where the president's book, it's a historic black college. So if you guys have any friends, if you have any black friends, and they got kids.
They're all on Guy Code.
Talk to me. Yeah. Maybe one of these, like, one day Charlemagne's going to Duval, but they got girls, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a dude's college. It's a great place.
Is it?
We should go do a show there. My brother's like, you guys are gods here. Gabrus, like, they would make Gabrus like the hasty pudding man. I swear to God.
They would carry him around in a chair. And
we've got the tour
him.
Coming up. So, I mean.
Dude, they love, don't sleep on that.
Yeah.
This is the first time in my life I've ever been hood famous. I've never been hood famous in my life. Most of the time, black people ignore me. They're like, oh, look, it's Urkel's stunt double. And this, like, now, the show, oh, my God. I leave this building, guys on trucks and shit. Yo, man.
Really?
Got coat. Yeah, yeah.
I'm always surprised when I see it.
Oh, all the fucking time.
I'm not surprised. I mean, you know what I mean.
Ryan, you've done a good thing.
I'm trying.
You've made good stuff. People like it. They consume it and enjoy it.
Comic-Con was pretty amazing because I didn't expect Guy Code to get so much love, and walking down the street with you guys,
that was dope, man. When we're all assembled, we should solve crimes and shit like I that, know. Dude.
Voltron. When you come together.
I'll be the equipment manager. I am not the pink lion in Voltron. Oh, that was like the worst. Who died in that? And then there was like the green one.
Did Voltron die?
I don't remember
in
now.
Voltron. They all assembled. But what was I going to say? Actually, it's really nice. It's nice because people have nothing but positive things to say about it. I once got in a fight. I was on a show called I Just Want My Pants Back, and this guy came up to me in a bodega and was like, I think your show's kind of stupid. And I pushed him into a thing of like candied peanuts.
Really?
Oh my God. I was like, I bet you didn't think that was going to happen.
That's the reaction you did right away?
Yeah.
You were so proud of that show?
He was so smarmy. He was like, your show's kind of stupid.
That's ridiculous.
And I was like, I can push you. Yeah, I just did that. I was like, I don't know what I was. I was a little drunk, and I was like, this is happening. It felt really. You don't think JC would do stuff like that?
Don't.
He's not Mother Hen.
I told the bodega guy to hold my glasses.
You're like, the glasses come off.
Yeah, they do.
That was a good show.
It was. Thank you.
It was well done.
That's very kind of you. The best part was. I got to work with Doug Liman, which was really great.
Yeah.
He felt it was like an extension of Swingers, so a lot of the dialogue was like Swingers kind of stuff. I also got to have TV sex, which was great.
That's true. I remember.
Especially when I got to make out with Elizabeth Hauer. She's awesome, an awesome girl. She studied with the same guy that taught Sacha Baron Cohen, clowning, and so she was terrific. The cast was great.
Yeah.
They just he's got to enjoy
it. He misses it.
You got to enjoy this. I do. I miss it. But you know what was so funny is the then president of MTV, David Gianlanari, was like, I got this show Guy Code. You should do that. Yeah. And I was like, what are you trying to tell me? I'm canceling your show. That's
what I'm trying to tell. We still like you.
Yeah, not
so much the show. Sorry.
I couldn't even remember.
But you are going to be black famous now.
Yeah. That's going to be great. Yeah.
I don't even remember the timeline of. I thought season one of Guy Code had happened.
It was 2011.
Yeah.
We were different people then. Right. You know. No, it's 2011. We shot the series. I know we shot the series. Mm-hmm. I Just Want My Pants back in 2011, but we also shot that summer the sizzle reel for Guy Code.
Yeah.
Because it was like at some confab in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You listen to me.
Showbiz. Yeah, guys.
Some showbiz talk. So like John already told me we were at the Beverly Hills Hilton. And
drinks. It's really nice.
It's really nice.
If you have to go, treat yourself.
Yeah, it's not bad. So he told me there, and that's why I was like, I'm not gonna turn this guy down. Of course I'm gonna do that. So like, I don't even really remember doing the sizzle reel. Yeah. I just remember I just came in, and Sachi, who's she's one of the big wheels down here, told me that I should show up at this appointed hour, and I did.
Yeah,
as I do as I'm told. Guy Code.
I just remember it was Stucky and I, and it was such a bare bones crew.
Very bare bones. Very bare bones.
I had a hard time keeping it together.
I had to work the camera.
You hit record. You did your own makeup.
It was all hand. It was like on a hand powered crank, right? You had a hand powered crank going, dribbling a wheel. There's oxen down in the basement.
The table was just like buttermilk.
That's it. Correct. Buttermilk.
I guess that's what they had in olden times. Yeah,
biscuits and buttermilk.
Biscuits and buttermilk at the same time.
That's what the house got.
It was a steam-powered camera that you had. You just kept shoveling coal into it.
They're like making magic. Vaginas everywhere.
It was a different time. You know what I mean? Crazy. It was weird.
Time flies.
Vintage.
Speaking of time flying, you got to get out of here, right, Ryan? So we skip the fan questions? Or
yeah, I suppose.
What time is?
I have like five to ten.
Yeah, I gotta go too. Actually, so, pretty soon.
But yeah,
I mean,
a couple quick questions then.
Please.
Okay, so this is from Wally Semain. From
does everybody have the
Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania?
Oh, nice.
So Wally here, pretty much he writes it a lot, but he pretty much just says his diva is a or his friend is a diva. His diva is a friend. His friend is a diva when it comes to getting ready to go out, and he makes all his other friends wait around for him until he gets ready.
Right.
That's breaking guy code, right?
That is breaking guy code. I'm gonna tell you that you should, Wally, grow a little something called self-respect. Comes from your nutsack. Locate it. Leave your friend, unless he's got the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you've got the car, be like, dude, we're going to be here. Just meet us, you know? Because after, like, you don't need to go everywhere as a pack. Yeah, what is that?
Yeah. You're breaking guy code for not leaving. Just
go and meet. Yeah, just meet me there.
I'll be here. You know, why do you...
What kind of diva is he, though? Is he, like, singing...
He's a baritone.
Climb every mountain?
Yeah. And,
he just says...
putting on dresses? Because that's, like... That's other coats.
It's
some are broken, some are...
You're out of my element. I'm out of my element in those coats, but
Climb Every Mountain is a great song to sing in the shower, though. I'm just kidding.
It's Guy Code. Yeah, it's not... See, you led me out there, and then you cut me off. Listen, there's a time. You know how much time you should take as a man.
Which is not much time.
Not much time. You gotta dress like the fucking building's on fire.
And put some cologne on and run out.
And quickly, but, not trampling each other, get out the door. Into your clown car and don't get laid. Guy code. Yeah.
Okay, this is from at S Bueno 707.
Oh, at S Bueno. Nice. Muy Spanish. Bueno.
Is it safe to trust your man when he moved to a different state?
Well, it depends on what state he moved to. You know, if he moved to South Dakota, you're probably okay.
But if you move to Miami,
that's bueno.
Yeah.
That's bueno. Must be a female. I was reading.
If your man.
But she followed that up with, if your man moved to a different state and keeps being insecure about me, is that bad?
Keeps being insecure about me when he moves to a different state? It's kind of weird. Sounds like you might be the one that's insecure about your man.
Why do you have another man? Or why do you have a man in another state? Just break up.
Yeah. Why have a man?
It's not going to work out.
Yeah. Once you cross the county line, They can't chase you. It's like Porky's. Like, I mean, I don't know. You have to, I mean, that's tough. Chances are
she is young enough to move on at this point if she's tweeting us.
Yeah. If you're tweeting us and your guy's in another state and it's hurting, if it hurts and it's not fun, make it stop. Unless you enjoy the pain.
Cut it off, man.
There'll be another. It'll grow back like a Gila monster or something like that. It's gonna be crazy.
This one's from @KD200.
Okay.
Probably Kevin Durant. He's a huge Kevin Durant fan.
Yeah.
He's a huge Kevin.
Thunder.
So my teammate and I used to live together.
Lift together.
Oh yeah. Can't read, guys.
Like weights.
I'm moving fast.
We used to lift together, yeah.
Yeah, they used to lift weights together.
Sure.
And one day, I go to lift, and he's in there lifting to a Drake album, or the new Drake
mm-hmm.
album.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that breaking guy code?
It's breaking guy code to join him. To spot
That's
him.
A solo thing.
Yeah. I will say this. It's not breaking guy code to lift as you're listening to Drake. It is guy code to spot him.
Yes.
As you are both lifting to Drake.
And looking into his eyes.
Yeah, looking into his eyes and never breaking.
We started from the bottom.
Now we're here.
give me 10.
Yeah, now give where are 10. We? Oh, my God.
But you can't do the clean and pull. Is it clean and pull or clean and lift?
I would say just give him his quiet time. I that's it, dude.
If your buddy's listening to Drake and lifting, he needs to be alone right there. He's trying to tell you non-verbally that he could just use some alone time.
Yeah, the gym is his, okay, at that moment.
He's laying claim.
He's laying claim. Yeah, totally.
It's like peeing on it, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's what we got. Do you have something to plug?
Check me out on Facebook. Check me out on Twitter, at Jordan Carlos. And you might bump into me. And if you do, let's smile.
Just PC.
Yeah, PC. Yeah, PC. Act like you've been here before.
All right, but thanks
for having me. Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.